الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، and a very warm welcome to this week's edition of the program. Each week we try to explore a different topic, a topic that allows us to reflect, to introspect, but also to take action. And a topic that is something that our communities can relate to. One term we've been hearing more often in recent years with the rise of social media, more awareness about ourselves and our own personalities, our growth, but also what's happened and is happening in Gaza, is the term, the Arabic term, futuwa. And futuwa would be something that encapsulates a set of values which extends beyond just etiquette or emphasizing respect, responsibility, and kindness. So the endeavor to raise gentlemen involves a deliberate and a thoughtful approach to instill in our sons, our nephews, not only a sense of self-respect, but also profound regard for others. It is this journey to futuwa that requires a delicate balance between strength and gentleness, independence and interdependence, all while fostering a commitment to lifelong learning and purposeful living. Today, we hope to delve into the tenets of futuwa, and we hope to embark on this journey, this process, together with you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us full understanding and the ability to implement, to take action, and to be part of those who raise a generation with the principles of futuwa for the pleasure of Allah. Welcome to our program, and welcome to another episode of Learning How We Will Live Our Legacies and Leave It Behind One Day Too. Our guest today is a CETA, S-E-T-A, accredited trainer and a mindful coach. Her social media handle is mindful_coaching_. In capitals, NC. We'll share that with you as well later on. Our guest today is Sister Naila Kaji. Coach Naila, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you, Appa Ariana.
Such a pleasure having you with us today on a very important topic. Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Very important.
Yes. Yeah. So, let's really get into the basics, because we have listeners who are in different parts of their journey and their learning. So if we could go back to the basics, would be great. And perhaps we can start by asking you to define for us, when we hear the term futuwa, break it down for us, please. What does that mean specifically to you and your circle of loved ones?
So futuwa is not a new term. As we know, the word fata comes from young boy, and this is just a transition to the young male, to manhood, you know, when they become mukallif. So it's that little period just after that and before the manhood, you know, when they have that independence and they feel. And you said everything so beautifully, but the concept is adolescent moral behavior. So we want to raise young males into sacred manhood. And for us as a family, or me in the role of a parent, I would just like to break it down, because, you know, we have all this information, and sometimes it becomes so overwhelming for a responsible parent or any parent out there. And basically, every home has rules. So if we think of it as a code of honor, you know, virtues, and how are we going to practice these values in our homes to ensure that we have these, you know, proud gentlemen going out into the world, you know, that behaves according to Sunnah and Quran, which is a simple way. What I would like to add to fatwa is the gratitude factor, because I really think if we teach our children to appreciate the simplest things, then even when they enter relationships, marriage, you know, the daily habit starts in the home. And just at the supper table or dinner table, you know, just ask your children, your young boys, you know, and girls to list what they are grateful for the day. So when they get into the adult or young adult role, they can appreciate the simplest things, and that keeps them humble and grounded. That's the only thing I wanted to add to that. As we know, Fatwa refers to our basic core Islamic values, which is respect, responsibility, kindness, you know, the self-respect, the self-love, because if we're accepting of ourselves, it's so much easier to accept others. I think Appa named everything, but just, you know, for the listeners, so it's always, repeat is always good. So the strength and gentleness, you know, it leads to independence, interdependence, and lifelong learning and purposeful living. So, but we'll break that down as we go along, because it is a mouthful.
Yes. Okay, that's great. So take us through, if we can. Can we summarize, if you're talking about core values and principles connected to Futuwa, is there kind of like, we would say, maybe a list or a summary of those core values that one could look out for when it comes to Futuwa?
Yes, it's the ones I've just said now. I can repeat them. So respect is the foundation, responsibility, acting with kindness, and then to balance strength and gentleness. Also to teach them to be independent, but also understand the acceptance of interdependence, you know, and then to have an attitude of a growth mindset, and to understand their purposeful living. So if you have your values, they shouldn't just be words, you know, nice to have, but we should, it's a working word, it's a verb. So how are we as a family going to put that into action to get what we want? So it's always to remember the end goal. So when it comes to, you know, it's very good to assign a life coach to sort of assist you into this, because it's a process, you know. I will talk us through it as we go along. But information, like I said, is everywhere. The understanding of values is everywhere. We all want to be kind. We all want to be respectful. We all want to have integrity. And we say we those things. But what is the understanding? Because back in the time, maybe children from the 70s like myself, had a different connotation to the word, different understanding of respect to the child of today. So the value doesn't change, the foundation doesn't change, but we need to adjust into the how-to so that we can get the same result, inshallah.
Inshallah, right, the how-to. So that's what we look forward to addressing with you today, inshallah. The next topic, and you brought this up, you know, with the core values coach, is respect. I'm interested to know, how do we teach our sons to respect themselves? We often talk about respecting others, and I would like to address that as well, please. But if we could start with teaching our sons self-respect, where do we start?
I honestly think, you know, we're the first teacher. And we should be the role model. So we know how children learn. They don't do what you tell them to do, but they do what you do. So if we could, you know, if we could walk the talk, you know, it sounds very simple, but let's look at examples, for instance. Children don't only learn from their parents. We know they learn from people in high regard, like teachers, grandma, grandpa. And our language of how we speak to ourselves, because self-respect also comes from self-love. You know, if we have negative talk, I'm so fat, I'm so ugly, I can't do this, the negative language, we should be very aware of that. And when we in a public space, if we want our children to respect themselves and others, we need to, like I said, be the role model. You know, how do we interact with people? How do we speak to our domestic servants? How do we speak to the waiter in the restaurant? You know, and do we have a culture of that, you know, if you want to respect others, respect is acceptance, Akariana. If we think about it, if I accept myself for who I am, you know, regardless if I'm tall, thin, straight, And I love myself, and I understand that I'm a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm actually a soul, you know. Then I will have respect for other people, regardless of their age, their race, their religion. And then automatically, and this is automatically, it will happen that, you know, when people, simple things like wait your turn to speak, you know, listen to others. You know, I do it this way, and while I'm doing it this way, I accept. And it's not tolerance, it's full acceptance that people can choose differently. There are different ways of doing things. I think it's such a broad spectrum subject, but in regard and in terms of fatwa, I think that would be like the basic to start from, because we want to go back to basics. And then inshallah one can build on that, because remember, children are, you know, they're young, too much information, and what we do is we have expectations from them. Many a times we, in a parenting role, we just want quick fix. So the language would be, can't you respect people? Respect means different things for people, and I want to unpack that a little more when we perhaps speak about teaching them manners and etiquette. You know, then that will come in, you know, because it all links to each, with each other. One value, it doesn't stand alone. One value, you know, if you choose your core values, it makes ultimate sense. You can't do the one. Like, for instance, self-respect and respect of others cannot go without empathy. Mm-hmm. So if I say I respect myself and I respect others, then obviously I will want to feel what others feel. I would have empathy at the level where they are in their life, in the phase that they are in their life. I would find reasons for why they do things differently from me. And although I don't need to do it that way, I can accept for that. And then we will have long-lasting relationships. And when we give respect, we know we receive respect, you know?
Right. Oh, that's so much to think about and reflect on.
Yeah.
I think for me especially, I'm talking about myself, and we talk about respect, we see it in this very confined box, but you've just expanded that very beautifully. Thank you so much for that.
I can just maybe summarize it in terms of, it's the ability to understand and connect with the feelings of another person. And that helps the foundation for strong relationships, because like Appa said with the introduction of respect, that you would like to understand self-respect. So self-respect is also EQ, it's emotional intelligence. If I understand myself, then I can easily understand others. If I can manage myself, I can manage others, you know. So a simple thing that I just like to throw in here is like little children, you know, they learn to hit or express when they're angry. So maybe if a little boy hits a teddy bear, and then the mommy can say, ouch, you're hurting me, so that they can also learn that empathy part in that. And we normally, I know this is a thing in our households, like we act like we're crying, you know, if they hurt us, then we act like, oh, you're crying, and you see the little face. So we don't need to think of this as a big chore, you know. It's simple things, but we need to understand, break it down, and we need to have a clear vision of how we're going to roll this out in our home, so that the practice becomes, you know, easy in eventually, inshallah.
Coach, you know, keeping with teaching and modeling to our children, our sons, these values, we often associate empathy to girls or to boys who we say are oversensitive.
Yes.
Perhaps if you could take us through understanding more about empathy, meaning for our sons, and knowing that they are growing up in worlds and communities that are no longer as insular as they were in the past because of politics and governance, how do we then, you know, make that connection for us, perhaps, please, between the empathy and cultural understanding and harmony in our societies and being open to different perspectives?
Yes, I think the general problem is that we hold back a lot when it comes to our boys, because we don't want to raise softies, and the pressure is on in terms of with all the stuff that we're facing, you know, gender-based and so on. So everybody needs empathy. And empathy is not feeling sorry for somebody. That's sympathy. Empathy is just making eye contact and really telling, because they are going to make mistakes. They are going to fail at things. They are going to disappoint us along the way. And I think we need to understand that, you know, kids must also understand that parents is the authority in the home. So, yes, we can address that, but we can always give reasons. And empathy is not a big thing. It's like when they express themselves for that moment, I'm angry, therefore I bang the door. Just a simple example. It's not okay to bang the door. This, we don't do this in our home. We communicate how I feel. But you need to teach them that. You need to ask the questions. How do you feel? Well, I understand that you're angry right now, but it's not okay to bang the door, you know? Just every time, repeat. But yes, we must. It's vital for us to empathize with our sons, because the world out there is the world out there we know nothing about, and they're facing challenges that we you know, it's just increasing. And if home is not a safe space and we don't understand, I understand what you're feeling, I feel what you're feeling, how are they going to come home and talk to us when they, you know, make mistakes and on the wrong path? And how are we going to guide them to the right path? So, yes, we do that easily with girls because they throw tantrums and they're drama queens and they explain to us. But a boy would sometimes just keep quiet, think my mother or father is unfair, suppress the feelings, and later we have problems. So I like to name this transition period from you know, young boy to a young adult as the make and break period. So what we do and what we tell them is of utter importance. We need to be aware. We need to consciously parent. You know. And
may Allah guide us and make that easy for us. And may we take the steps that we need to take. Sometimes those are very courageous steps. We need to step out of a fixed mindset, and we need to do what we need to do, because we are raising them, as Ali radiallahu anhu said, not for this time based on our parenting, but for the future that they will live in. Yes. For their time. Yes,
absolutely. You carry on, Apo.
Please, coach, please go ahead.
No, I just want to motivate parents, because I know I have three adult boys and it was very overwhelming for me, and I made a lot of mistakes. You know, my mother used to roll her eyes and frown upon me and whatever. I would just motivate or inspire people to just take a break. If something happens, it's a challenge, it's a test. Why can it not happen to us? You know, we feel entitled, we feel different. So if you can think of it in that way, that that's what Allah brought me to it, He will take me through it. Take a pause, just practice the pause, you know, manage your own feelings in that moment, because it can be very tedious. You know, it's easy for us to chat about it, but the real life practice of that, if you can choose yourself and then say, okay, this is what happened, assess it, calm yourself, and then go and speak to your child, because you really don't want to damage your boy. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have an end goal. You know what that is. So if that's your value, then you should operate in a certain framework. You don't have a choice. You know, you can't become the child. You can't throw your... And that's what often happens, you know, and that happened a lot with me. And then the repair work later is much more tiring than putting in the work at the moment. So be present in your lives, you know, and stop worrying what other people will think. It's your child, you know. That's a big thing. So this is another topic up, right? It's another topic.
yes. Stop worrying what other people will think. Gosh, no, we definitely need a dedicated topic on that, because I think many of us are caught in that in so many aspects of our lives. Parenting, marriages, work, so many things, our own identity. Yeah, we'll talk about
it. It's a real struggle because it's a, you know, it's a limiting belief that is with us, and if we don't bust that belief, it controls us, you know. So yeah, inshallah. I speak far too much, but I get very passionate about these things, and I got so excited when Mumtaz invited me, because we should speak more and more about this. So make me laugh if I and stop me if I go on too long about something.
No, of course not. We love having guests who are passionate about what they're speaking about, because that really is where you get, for us, we get to benefit from your gift and your sharings. And yeah, I think we hereby rename you our limiting belief buster. So we're going to be coming back to you to help us bust those limiting beliefs.
Lots of fun
with that. I think we often don't connect our limiting beliefs to our spiritual growth, right?
Absolutely. And it's a big stumbling block, you know, and then we get internal conflict, and it's just, you know, there are ways to get around it. So, yeah, we must empower people with the skill, inshallah.
For sure, inshallah, yeah. So, listeners, yeah, we're putting it out there. No dates and no times as yet, but we are saying we will, inshallah, look into talking to Coach Naila about spiritual growth and limiting beliefs. So look out for that, inshallah, sometime this year. You know, Coach, we talked about respect and how empathy is within that respect is something that many of our sons are not encouraged to display that empathy. But I want to move to another topic that very often when it comes to bringing up our children, we have certain gender-specific expectations, roles, and here we're not talking about domestic household roles, but really in terms of values, more like it, that we assign certain values to or expectations to our son. Yeah. So let's talk responsibility. How, and this is probably the $1 million question, million rand question, how do we plan, how should we be planning to instill a sense of responsibility in our sons, our boys?
Yeah, so responsibility in our boys starts from a very young age, I think, as young as 2. Once again, we need to model it, but we must remember that responsibility is going to extend to the accountability when they get into the school, in their school career. The expectation from outside is high, and if that value is not instilled in them from home, so we spoil our boys. And I had a daughter after 3 sons, so alhamdulillah it was easy, because I made them, not made them girls, but I made them responsible. So when the daughter came, they wouldn't expect her to have a jacket or tacky lies at the front door that she was going to pack it away. And I'm once again going to say that when it comes to responsibility, we must mirror that. Kids need to understand that the parent is the authority in the home. That's first thing, right? So with that will be rules. And if the rules are broken, then obviously there has to be consequences. And I think many of us don't do that. So responsibility starts with, it's a big word, but it starts with simple things like teaching your child to maybe pack away their toys after playing. It starts there, 2 years. You know, making your bed, even if it's not that perfect, but to teach them, pick up their clothes from the floor, put, you know. And then as they get older, we just increase the tasks. It's not a big thing. It's very easy if we start very young. But we as moms, we want to, not even our boy children, even our husbands, they come from their home spoiled like that. And then we extend it, and we think if we go on a holiday, then our whole house is going to fall apart. We want to cook and fix the freezers, and all of those things. And every human being must be responsible. And previously I spoke about gratitude, so I'd like to link that with this. If your boy child enters marriage and he doesn't have responsibility or accountability, he's not going to appreciate the small things that the wife does for him. And they're not going to, you know, they feel, we need to make them do things so that they can feel a sense of achievement, you know. It empowers them. It honestly empowers them. And it also assists, responsibility and accountability assist a growing child to solve problems. You know, they can, their problem solving, they align this with this value of responsibility. And I'm going to show you how that plays out. because in coaching, there's a triangle known as the responsible triangle. Now, parents might ask us that, okay, you're naming all these things, we understand, but how again? How do we do this? So you draw a simple triangle. The child broke a mug, for instance, and he blames it all vase or something. So you would ask your son, without anger, remember we should be neutral if we want to invest in them. It's worth investing in them and to be leaders of tomorrow. So the practical stuff is that name, you know, tell mommy, how did this happen? And they would blame, and you write all the reasons down. And they would justify why they're doing it, and you write the reasons down. And then you show them you're at the bottom of the triangle because you're in victim mode. So with the questioning, with the information that you're getting, so, you know, we speak down to them. You're always like this. You're lazy. And then we think children will change. But if we use positive affirmations, you know, acknowledge what they do, that will encourage them to actually be truthful. We also, responsibility comes with telling, to be honest as well, you know, if they see you tell a whole lot of white lies to your mother-in-law, sister-in-law, they're going to do that because they would think it's okay. So the idea is, after they've blamed and justified, and you ask them, how can you take responsibility for this? Maybe I shouldn't have ran with a mug, or I bumped him, or whatever. Then you move up and you're now a victor. So there's simple little frameworks and tools, you know, that you can bring in your home, and then the children know if something happened, and they actually feel stronger, you know. That also builds self-confidence, because they do understand, now I'm accountable for this and I can fix it. If you do the homework for them, there's lots of things. When is it okay? Responsibility can be extended in terms of, if my son is invited to a get-together, a play date, right? A party or whatever. And he has confirmed, he said, I'm coming. And there's been catered for him. And then he gets another invitation to something that's more exciting, maybe a soccer tournament. And this child accepts the second invitation. And you as parent doesn't manage or ask the right questions. And they don't become responsible. They're not accountable. So it's a lot of little things. And that's why I said awareness. And that's why I'm a mindful coach. Because just be present, you know, wake up. And don't be so tired to unpack the box, you know, and you will pick the fruit from there. You will definitely pick the fruit from there. So it's in the small little things that this happen, you know, and they become beautiful beings, you know, and they go out and they flourish in the communities because it comes second nature to them, inshallah. But if we save them from that, then we're not actually instilling this value in them, which is a great misfortune, I would say.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention and awareness, because we know that parenting is not easy and there's so many elements to it, but this definitely helps put things in perspective.
Alhamdulillah.
So we know how important it is to be kind to others, be other than to our own selves or our own families. What would you say it is that we can do to foster kindness and even by extension of that compassion in how our children interact with others? Okay. What have you found in your personal parenting journey, in your coaching journey? Tell us more about fostering that kindness and compassion, please. Maybe one for example.
Me, yeah, it's a very sensitive one because, you know, it sounds very easy to be kind and compassionate. And if we're not kind to ourselves, exactly how we mentioned empathy, if we don't portray that value to our children, our boy child, how will they be able to then be empathetic? How can they empathize with others? Because they don't even understand how it feels, you know? Mm-hmm. And the kindness and compassion comes with that. So the self-talk, for me, the best example, there's no better example than our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, because if we read the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to our children, they will be able to identify on how he handled situations and challenges. And always to choose kindness, you know, because at the end of the day, we need to have the end goal in mind. So the transition from boyhood to manhood, it's not an easy one. It's a very significant phase, but it's a difficult phase. And I said earlier, it's a make and break phase. So while they on this journey of self-discovery and growth and they transforming, they face challenges during this journey, and not challenges that we are aware of in our times, you understand? So that is why we as parents, I think if we want to instill this value in them of kindness and compassion, we need to, I'm saying the same thing, but we need to provide that support, that understanding, help them manage, put things in perspective when they come and speak to you. So the example I want to use, my daughters, girls are much more verbal, so they will, you know, you pick them up from school and then they just verbal diarrhea. This one did that, and that one did that, and I'm upset. And listen to them, quiet your mind, don't interrupt. You know, encourage your boy children also when you see their body language, you know, and they're upset, you know, encourage them to speak about their feelings. Don't suppress that. And this way you can help navigate. Okay, you're feeling this way, but did you consider how the other person is feeling? What did you say? What brought you to this? This also gives assist their responsibility. And you do this with confidence, and then they grow with ease. So it's not a big thing. Yes, it's kindness and compassion, I would say. It helps to have a pet at home. I can tell you that. Look after a pet. Get a cat, you know, a dog, a bird. Clean the cage, you know, feed them on time. But also you can't pull the tail of the cat because it hurts, it will meow, it will scratch you. So always understand how you want people to treat you, and be compassionate about people's situations. You know, and we're talking about kindness and compassion, you know, in terms of the adolescent child and the young boy. But let's think about people in the workplace. You know, sometimes we see horrific things play off. Talk this, make this your supper, you know, what happened at school, discuss it, unpack it, so that they can see their payoff would be so much better if they just, you know, bismillah and decide, I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to practice compassion. I'm going to try and understand that maybe this person didn't eat today. Maybe they don't have a mommy. Maybe they travels far. So we turn the focus, that worked for me and my children. Like, we turn the focus inside out. We actually swap seats. My boys used to fight a lot, so the one used to sit in the other one's place and understand how that person is feeling. So that, Apariana, I can't, you know, it's a difficult one, like I said. It's sensitive, and there will be lots of opinions. But what I can advise parents, talk to other parents, you know, people that had young boys or children, and you can see you really admire the adult that they've become. You know, they're this respectful individual. And how did they do it? How did talk to people? Do your research. It's not always in Google. You know, it's simple things at home. But if we can't be kind and compassionate towards them, honestly, they can't. So everything is very hard. A parent, I don't want to say it's hard, because if we say it's hard, it's hard. But the onus is on our shoulders. And I love what Idris Khamisa always says. He says, a mother, don't rest here on the dunya, because you always, they say, when they have small children, small problems, big children, big problems. But if we start early, and you know, he says, we'll rest in our grave. And I agree with him now that I have my children being married. So, but worrying and fighting with them and shouting is not going to solve the problem. Discuss things. Don't be shy to talk about stuff, you know. We come with automatic conditioning. In our homes, we couldn't even challenge our parents and say, but why must I do this? We just jump and do it. You can't have neat clothes because... Yeah. You need to take your sisters. And we don't question these things, you know. So it's really simple. But if I can encourage, you know, every home has different rules. We have the same core values. But how you're going to do it is going to depend on you and your home. And what I can add here is that if your child chooses not to be kind and compassionate, and they need to understand what kindness is, and they need to understand how they will portray this attribute and how what compassion is. And but what is your payoff? I forgot to say that. What is my payoff? Is my payoff pain or is my payoff pleasure? If I'm not going to be kind to my cousin that comes and it's going to play with my game and he's going to leave after 3 hours, how am I going to feel this evening when I read my kalimas and I go to bed and I, reflect on my day? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, am I pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I not? So that's an easy one, you know. Every choice you make, is it going to, do you want pain as a payoff? Do you want pleasure as a payoff? And make your choice, but also know that there are consequences, you know, for every choice. So just, I think you must link the responsibility, you know, to that. And they will make mistakes, you know, but the support comes from us. You know, we need to assist them to navigate. They don't know. Young adults, adolescent children, girls or boys, they're just full of feelings. They're not smart about their feelings. It's just emotions, emotions, emotions. And we need to know that, understand that, have empathy with that to be able to navigate them, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. Yes. Thank you so much. And for also for these very practical examples you've been sharing with us along the way. I think that's what's so important is we can talk about concepts and principles, but if we don't have practical examples, it can sometimes feel overwhelming for some parents and just not knowing where to start and how to implement these gems. So Jazakumullah Khair. Thank you so much for that as well.
Alhamdulillah.
There is so much to learn about Futuwa, and we're so glad to have you with us. I definitely think we need to make this a two-part series because I don't want to rush through everything. And this, because this topic is something not really spoken about, and so there's a need for us to go into detail and understand what this concept is. If perhaps from there we could move on further. And you've brought this topic up a few times. And rightly so, and that is about modeling behavior. So I'm wondering if we could spend some time firstly asking you to tell us, share with us, what would be some of the ways that we can model the behavior we want to see in our sons? Let's start with that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we need to sit with ourselves first. So many times people bring the, I don't work a lot with boys, but like I said, I have them in the home, and I have my niche is actually the girl child and her mother, the mother and her girl child, because I feel when I work with them, the hand that rocks the cradle, they will extend that to the brother, to the husband, to the father, and then ultimately we do achieve that end goal of having husbands. But if we talk about, we have now agreed that these values, these core values of Fatwa, is our foundation, right? It should be our foundation, and it should be the framework in which we operate with. But what does that actually mean? Yes, I understand how to respect, how to be kind and compassionate, what did we speak about, responsibility, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Now, as a life coach, or in coaching, we do this. We really spend a lot of time on the topic values, because values actually determines a lot of other things. It doesn't come across that way, but if we unpack the box, then it actually assists us into our decision making. We understand our boundaries, because from the values we set boundaries, and our communication is also based on there. And we speak, like we said, what is my payoff? The input determines the output. Mm-hmm. So if you think in terms of modeling this, I interrupted myself, I lost my thought. So when the mother of the teenage daughter phones me and she says, you know what, I'm at my wits end, Nila, I need to bring my daughter to you and you need to fix her. And I would ask a few questions, and I have to very kindly and with lots of compassion and love say to the mom, I need to see you first. Mm-hmm. Because it's top down. The top management is very often the big problem, you know. So I can say to my Akila that you need to be kind, you need to be compassionate, you need to be responsible, you need to show empathy, and da 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 da. And I can But if she doesn't see that in me, how is she ever going to do that? So what we do with families, I'm going to try and summarize this fast, is we give them a whole list of values, because we have core values, we have different set of values in our home, we have different values at work. And so they can choose it as nice to have. So they can just choose values, you know, randomly. So I ask them to choose 10 values, and the listeners can take notes, because it's a very good exercise. And then we ask, take every value individually. So say somebody tells me they like good communication, or the you know, love, or anything like that. Then I would ask them, so what do you want to, what is your aim? What would you like to get from this? By having good communication, which is a value to you, what would you like out of it? And then they realize, because we talk about a means value to an end value. So by me communicating well, saying please and thank you, and being sure about what I want to say, and not insulting people and whatever, I would have a good relationship with my siblings, with my colleagues, with my peer, my friends, my parents. And then you would find, Appa, that a few of these values would have the same enme value. So different mean values, like a man that works and he says, you know what, I want financial stability, would mean that he goes to work, you know. Then you would find that all those things comes down maybe to 5 values. And this makes it easy for families then, you know. And then we discuss, then we take it one step further and we say, okay, we've decided, no matter what, we, as a family, will always be kind and compassionate. We'll always practice that. How are we going to do that? Are we going to greet people? We're going to accept them for who they are. We're going to speak lovingly. You know, whatever your rules are, because my rules in my house is different, Aparihana's rules might be different in our house. And we discuss this, so the children have buy-in on this. And they feel extra responsible and accountable, because now they made the rules, so it's so much harder to break the rules.
Of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then and obviously the communication. So we as I would like to say Muslim or Indian mothers, we'll tell them, don't, if you eat your greens and you eat your 3 vegetables and your 2 fruit today, then you can have ice cream. If you don't eat it, you're not having dessert with all the other cousins. And then the child doesn't eat it, and then we say, oh, shame, man. Just give him the ice cream. Now, what does the child learn? You know, they just learn they can break rules. There's no consequence. You're not listening. You're not packing your clothes away. So remember, I'm going to take your phone away. You're not going to have the phone this weekend. And then one of the parents softens and said, shame, man. Everybody's now watching Netflix. It's their downtime. Give him the phone. No. It doesn't work that way. You have decided what your punishment is going to be. You've decided how we're going to do it. So yes, communication is one of the great stuff to model behavior. We can talk about it in depth, and we can involve them, because you can talk until you're blue in your face. If they're not a part of that, and if you don't give them ownership of these rules and these values and these consequences, then they're not going to, you know, respect them. So you encourage open communication. That's how we do it. You foster strong bond with our sons, and you nurture the emotional development in that way. So there's a lot of payoff. You know, what you put in, you get so much more out, because they learn other things along the way. They learn self strain. They learn that I need to act better, be better, you know, I need to step up, I need to be responsible, because otherwise I'm going to have a payoff of pain, you know. And also, this must be in a, I must emphasize this, please, parents, create a safe and a non-judgment space. Because from an Islamic perspective also, we cannot judge. You know, Allah says all the time, Allah's names are most gracious, most merciful. So yes, unconditional love is also for another day. But what does that really mean? You know, loving them is sometimes, you know, to be tough. And but you need to be firm. You need to assert yourself. You can't be this mommy today and that mommy tomorrow. You know, you can't be this Muslim today and another Muslim tomorrow. You must know your rules. So you need to know yourself. So I work with the moms. They go home, they pull it through, like they roll it out in the home. And then when you work with a teen, eventually, then they speak the same language. Because when I was just starting off as a life coach many, many moons ago, I would find I work, because this was my passion, I work with the teens and I cause more problems in the home. Because the child raises above the parent and they can't cope with the parents because they catch the parents out contradicting themselves. You're telling me to go read Salah, but you in the street, you don't do it. And, you know, so they don't do what we tell them. They do what we... You say we mustn't gossip, but I hear you speaking to your cousin or sister all day about Nani or Daddy or that kind of thing. So modeling behavior is very, very deep, and you need to fix yourself before you can fix your children. If I might put it that way.
Yes, sister. We're all about real talk here. Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, it's been so refreshing, so enlightening. I'm the mom of an adult son, but really I've learned so much from here, so much of what I could take away with my relationship with him, and I'm sure it's been equally enlightening for moms of all of boys with all ages. I think we talk a lot about our girl children, but not enough about our boy
about
children.
The boys.
This has been a wonderful platform, and thank you so much for sharing your personal example as well, because I think that's where we learn truly from each other. Coach, I'm wondering, before we conclude our time for today, could we ask you to tell us a bit about, you did mention that you focus with the girl child in your sessions mainly. Tell us more a bit about how our listeners can get in touch with you and what type of services you offer, please.
Okay, so I have a big default, so I'm not a lot on social media. And it's mostly word per mouth. So I can share my cell phone number. I work a lot. Alhamdulillah, I'm 12 years in Cape Town. So, you know, there is a nice database of life coaches. So work role in, and we have other roles. So I don't advertise so much. And like I said, social media, they won't get anything on there. But they're welcome to WhatsApp me or call me on 071-895-6119. We have set up an NPO, which is Impact Coaching, and I collaborate with two other life coaches. So we do workshops, and we work in corporate, we work in communities, and obviously, if the demand is there, one-on-one coaching. Also, my big field that I work in, if I have, I do group coaching, so people from all over the world, you know, we decide on a time and place, and I do minimum 6 and maximum 10 ladies, and we do practical work, and it's on Zoom sessions, and it's, you know, it's like we're there, so we just fix the whole world's problems, and alhamdulillah, we learn from one another, a lot from one another, you know, trials and what others go through. So yeah, may Allah make it easy for all of us and grant us understanding, inshallah. Ameen.
I mean, so beautiful. The work that you're doing is so much needed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to give you strength and health and energy. You continue serving the Ummah and humanity at large through this beautiful world. I can just sense how passionate you are about what you do, and that itself is already a gift to all of us. But I'm really looking forward, and I'm sure our listeners as well, when they catch the recording, to follow up with part 2 with you more about this futuwa. Well, we've been there.
Inshallah. No, that's absolutely
so. And yeah.